First it was sugar, then pineapple, and now coffee has the informal recognition of Hawaii's signature crop. But many Hawaii coffee farmers argue that a state law is putting them at a disadvantage to other growers around the world. HPR's Ryan Finnerty has been looking into that. He joins us with coffee in hand to tell us about it.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Ryan.
And yeah, I've got a bag of coffee right here, and you might be able to hear it. And as you can see, it says very prominently displayed on it, 10% Kona coffee blend. And that's probably a pretty common sight anyone around Hawaii has seen. And I kind of got curious about the origin of that, and it turned out there was a bill at the legislature this year addressing that, so we decided to look into it. And that stems from a 1991 state law that the legislature passed that required any coffee that is labeled as being Hawaii grown or from one of Hawaii's coffee growing regions to have at least 10% coffee by weight from that region. So in this particular one, 10%, only 10% of the beans that are in this bag actually have to come from Kona.
And no sense of where the rest has to come from.
That's right. It can come from anywhere. It could come from another part of Hawaii. So you'll see sometimes blends that maybe have 20% Hamakua, 10% Kona, but more typically it comes from a foreign source, Central America, the Caribbean, Africa, because those tend to be cheaper. And so the real reason that this is done is to lower the price, because Hawaii-grown coffee is very expensive. And this law was enacted in 1991. It originally only covered Kona, so it was just Kona coffee. In 2002, state lawmakers expanded it to cover all of Hawaii's coffee-growing regions, which are outlined as Hamakua Coast, Kau, and Kona on the Big Island, and then Maui, Molokai, Oahu, and Kauai. And so any coffee you see that says Kauai grown or Kona grown or where any of those regions, it has to contain at least 10% from that region. But the rest could come from anywhere. And that has a lot of coffee farmers upset because they say it's misleading, it cheapens their brand because you're not really drinking in this one a Kona coffee, you're drinking 10% of a Kona coffee and the rest is something else, but it's kind of marketed as Kona. And so they have been pretty much every year since 1991 trying to get this limit, this minimum raised to 51%. And they feel like that will make it a more representative example of their product and improve the, what they say, improve the quality of the product. And so here's Suzanne Schreiner. She's a coffee farmer in Kona and also president of the Kona Coffee Farmers Association.
Well, the 10% rule effectively transfers money from farmers' pockets to large corporate mainland pockets. By using the Kona name, restaurants such as McDonald's or 7-Eleven get to say they're selling a Kona coffee. The value of the Kona name, and it actually degrades our name. So we'd like to see that changed so more money stays with the growers.
And so, as we mentioned earlier, this bag of 10% Kona coffee, 90% came from somewhere else, so that means 90% of what was paid for this bag didn't
it's
go.
Not Kona coffee.
Right, and the profits from that went to not a Kona coffee farmer. And so there's a number of economic issues at play with this. One is just that they want to get more revenue. You know, a 100% bag of Kona coffee means more money going to a Kona farmer. But it also sort of changes expectations, right? So this bag that I have here costs about $5. A Kona bag, 100%, goes for several times that.
That's a pretty huge price differential, actually.
Right. And so these farmers are arguing that it's deceptive, that a consumer thinks they're buying a Kona cup of coffee, but they're really getting something else, and that they're hurt by that. It decreases the price of coffee on a, at least certainly a national level, but potentially on a worldwide scale for what people expect that they can buy Hawaii-grown coffee for, and then that influences what they can get. So they're trying to raise, as we said, raise the limit. And part of the reason is that Hawaii-grown coffee is considered a premium product on the world market because Hawaii coffee farmers have a lot higher expenses than other farmers do, the price of land, getting materials here, getting it shipped out. And so they feel that the lower price is hurting their ability to sell their premium product, the 100% blend, which is what they need to make a profit. But there's another side of this to this argument too, and that's the blenders. And this bag of coffee that I have here was roasted and prepared and distributed by a local company based in Honolulu. And those distributors say that were this limit to be increased, it would make their product uncompetitive, that the price would be too high, and those big corporate customers like 7-Eleven and McDonald's that Suzanne mentioned would no longer buy the product, and that would hurt the local industry as a whole. And so I spoke with Jim Lenhart, who oversees sales to those types of customers for the Hawaii Coffee Company, which is the largest single buyer of Kona Coffee and has been for several decades. And I asked him how the 51% blend requirement would play out from his perspective.
Well, since it's hypothetical, let's say the 51% was enacted. One, there's not enough supply to take care of just my customers from one company. I've got 800 customers across the state in food service, from hotels, convenience stores, restaurants. Two, the price of the coffee, the increase, would most likely not be accepted. As you probably know, the restaurant business is a pretty competitive business. And should the cost be a barrier for these customers, then they would stop buying a Kona blend.
And Jim told me, Bill, and he's been working in that business for quite a while, he said that in past incidents, he's lost a customer for an increase of low as 5 cents a pound. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're a McDonald's or a 7-Eleven, you're selling...
Cost is your driver.
Right. Yeah. And, I mean, you think about the amount of coffee by volume that someone of that size, or even a local business, a local hotel or a local restaurant, mm-hmm. is going through every year, 5 cents a pound really adds up. And so, as we mentioned earlier... A 10% blend, which could go for just retail, $5 a bag, probably even cheaper for these large wholesalers, compared to what we'll hear from Suzanne again in a moment, $40 or $50 a bag for 100%. That makes a huge difference for them. And so as we've kind of see, there's a situation where the interests of the farmers and then their distributors don't necessarily align up. And here's what Suzanne had to say about that.
We'd be happy if McDonald's stopped selling our coffee, because probably only 10% of the coffee that's grown in Kona is put into a blend. The other 90% goes to high-value consumer accounts on the mainland who are selling 100% Kona coffee for $49 or $59 a bag.
And so that's sort of the situation, Bill, is as farmers all around the world, price is everything, and the farmers in Hawaii want to see the price they get for a bag of coffee go up. The distributors say that's not going to work for them and that it will hurt everyone in the long run. We should also say, though, that this is not a universal position amongst coffee farmers. There were several who opposed the bill at the legislature, which would have raised the limit. And these tend to be farmers who sell primarily to the distributors. So in Suzanne's case, she's selling the majority of her product as a premium product to a more boutique market craft product. But if you're selling entirely to a distributor and that distributor decides to drop that because no one will buy it, then you're really in trouble.
And that's, you know, step one of business, know your customer in terms of the market there. And that's, I think, generally folks, you know, locally know if you're going to get real Hawaiian coffee, it's got to say 100%, and you're going to pay more for that. And then that's the choice on the consumer side that, yes, this is worth this, because actually, in the end, this tastes a whole lot better than that blend.
And they make an interesting comparison, a lot of the farmers, to, say, Idaho potatoes mm-hmm. or champagne from France, that you would never buy. Idaho would never allow a 10% bag of Idaho potatoes to be sold, or France would never allow a 10% bottle of champagne to be sold. So they argue that this is what they need for parity with producers elsewhere in the world.
All right. Ryan Finnerty. Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Bill.
If you want to see how coffee fits into Hawaii's overall agricultural production, we have a report from the Department of Agriculture posted with this story at HawaiiPublicRadio.org.